Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Which, again, this was an injury in the spring, which maybe we would have had more news or been more aware of the seriousness of it had we had spring football and Clemson was doing their spring game. But he has confirmed that Justin Ross will miss the season with an injury believed to be some kind of neck or back related, and that he has going to have to decide how he's going to do it, maybe have surgery so he can still get his career for the NFL on track. Just terrible, terrible news for a great kid at Clemson.
So, Dabo also, obviously, you know, and here's the thing, and Craig, I want you to play this comment because this was over the weekend, and again, you know, people reacting, some immediately, to the events that were going on, but Lavelle Moten, who is the head coach at NC Central, he's a basketball coach, talking about the Power Five coaches, and the reason why he makes the comment you're about to hear is because a lot of these coaches go in to young men's homes and talk about how they're going to develop them as men, and they're going to be there for them. So I think we were looking for comments, not we, but just generally speaking. You heard Nick Saban speak. We talked about Kirby put out a statement. Right. Because when you talk about college sports and how it affects the makeup of college sports, a lot of these coaches interact with a lot of these young men who come from communities who are disadvantaged, Mike, and who are, you know, come from situations where the police, they've had bad encounters with the police department. So you wanted these coaches to speak out. So I want you to hear what he said, and then I'll let you hear, or should I say, I'll tell you what Dabo said today as he was asked about this. Again, this is Lavelle Moten.
Whenever people, the complexion of George Floyd, is killed, assassinated, murdered in the street in broad daylight, they're silent. And I have a problem with that because it seems as if black lives matter to them whenever they can benefit from it, right? Whenever they're getting them a first down or, you know, catching a alley-oop or shooting a three or whatever.
So that was a comment from this weekend, and obviously you heard from various coaches around the Power Five. He was calling out Power Five coaches saying, where are some of the more pertinent coaches in our profession who have brands? And we said this. I'm going to continue to say this for as long as we have this conversation. You need those people to care and for it to matter to them to affect change. If Coach K doesn't give a damn, it doesn't help. Okay? So when you have guys like Dabo and Nick and Kirby caring about the issues, then it's going to help. It's going to help because they can translate that. And certainly they bring a certain amount of power with what they do. So today Dabo started, you know, talking about this, and he says, there comes a time when silence is betrayal. And of course he's quoting Martin Luther King there, but talked about, you know, the fact that in 2016 he condemned Colin Kaepernick for protesting police brutality, but he understands it more now. And so this presser's out there if you want to go look at it. But I think that's a lot of people, Mike, are looking at this and going, okay, maybe I didn't understand exactly. Maybe I didn't like the platform, but I get it a lot more now. And that's kind of what Dabo was saying.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, when we had those conversations, and I remember, that got so passionate. We would have these conversations, Carl and I, when the whole Kaepernick thing was in, you know, just it was the front and center. And people are going, it was anti, he's anti-U.S., anti-our troops. Like, what the are you talking about? And so then, as you've said, it's been said a million times in the past 48 to 72 hours, African-Americans are aware of this stuff. I mean, and we just didn't believe it or didn't want to believe it in white America. And then when you see, I mean, like I said, there was even people when this video came down of Floyd trying to rationalize. I'm like, really? I mean, that's when you're real. I mean, that's when you got to get your head examined. So it's great to hear a guy like Dabo talk about, hey, here's where I was, and I get it now. I reevaluate. And the players, by the way, you don't think players are going to respond to that?
They should. Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
They'll respect him and want to play for a guy like that. Dabo's got a lot of good things going on. I know some people, think the personality is over the top. I mean, that's, it's great, to err as human and to say, look, I didn't get it at first, and now I get my head around the issue.
Yeah. And, again, if some of you are saying, well, does it matter if a college coach speaks out? Again, this gets back to the acknowledgement of the issues. You can't ignore it because your job is to win football games. Your impact on those communities, those cities, those young men's lives is bigger than that.
Yeah, and I saw some stuff over the weekend where some guys were saying, look, if your coach isn't addressing this, think long and hard
That's
about
a
if
problem.
You want to play at that coach.
I agree.
Play for that coach.
Mike, it's a great point. I agree. Because, it's why we'll replay Coach Jeff Collins coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. He went on our radio station over the weekend with on Sam Crenshaw's show, and he was passionate. You'll hear it talking about how he's trying to address this with his young men. It is important, guys, because here's the thing. We don't learn from it. Then it just perpetuates this cycle that we continue to be in. Stuff that my parents talked about, and you went, oh, it'll be better, it'll change. Stuff I'm talking about with my kids, oh, it'll be better, it'll change. Stuff you're talking about with your kids, oh, it'll be better, it'll change.
Right.
But has it?
Well,
that's the thing. That's why it's important for these coaches and people who are in positions of power, Mike, to get involved with the conversation.
Well, I like the quote for the basketball coach saying, yeah, you really care about these guys when they're scoring touchdowns for you, or shooting a three, which, again, he's not lying. Hey, man, it is, again, our dog report brought to you by our buddies at Brightbox Electrical. Again, guys, you can go to brightboxelectrical.com, get all the details, get that man cave, generators, everything you need for your home. Yeah, you'll hear Jeff Collins, as you mentioned. That got a lot of play nationally, by the way, the stuff that the coach had to say. Other coaches out there using the platform to talk about it, and it's as we said, I just think it's not just about simply trying to get young men to rally to your team and want to come play football for you. It's the right thing to do, period.
There it is. Yeah. And I'm glad you said that, because to me, that's the bigger thing, right? I mean, when you say, well, why should they? They don't have to. Sometimes it just comes down to it's the right thing to do. And, if that's not in your heart and you don't feel that, well, then, maybe you're doing the wrong thing if you're a coach and you just don't think that you should be responding to any of this. Hey, I was going to, and I will, because I was pulling it up, Mike. I wanted to read Kirby's statement. Dr. Moorhead also released a statement at Georgia this weekend. And again, moving forward, I will be clear about this. NFL is involved in this, too. It's got to be more than PR statements. If you're serious, it's got to be more than PR statements. And in the past, that's kind of what it's been. Sort of PR statements, but we're not going to talk about it because, again, it's a little bit uncomfortable. And you know what? I don't need to piss off anybody. Well, guess what? America's pissed off, and you saw it this weekend. So come out of that bag, get out of that shell, and let's address it. And you know what? Let's do more than just PR statements, because that's what it's been. So I'm not going to bang on these guys just for putting out a statement, because at least they did something. But it's got to be more than that. 2, 4, 5, 8 months from now, 2 years from now, where are we?
Well,
or is this just another hashtag?
Well, we'll talk about it, coming up a little bit later in the show. But, I mean, I'll put it to you right now real quick while we're on the subject. I mean, is Kaepernick going to get a phone call? A lot of guys have lobbied for Kaepernick, and I know this gets back to how we started the conversation. Oh, if you're somebody who doesn't relate to this, you hear the name Kaepernick and you roll your eyes. Well, you're not listening, because he pointed this out. We tried to explain what he was trying to bring to attention, whether you think it affected you or not. It affects you now when the mall you go to has just been trashed, right? It affects you when if you live in a mansion on Paces Ferry and right down the street, now it's in your face, right? Whether you like the way it started or how. Now, we don't like the way it ended, but this is where, okay, now it's front and center. Would a team take a flyer on Cap? It's more than ever now when you see a guy like Flacco, who's got nothing left in the tank. He's got one arm. He's got a back he can't even practice, and even he gets a deal. And look, whether you thought the whole Kaepernick thing, he didn't like the NFL controlling the narrative and how he bailed on the workout and the Falcons. Remember, you and I talked a lot about that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And again, some people, they still just don't root for the guy. They have a problem. problem? That's where you got to look inside your heart, brother. You know, I mean, look, the guy's just trying to make some money in football. And unlike so many guys, unlike 99% of athletes until this weekend, he actually took a stance on something. You know, and then it came front and center. The whole thing boomeranged back around. And how can you still castigate Kaepernick now? I don't understand that. You know, that I don't get. I mean, I didn't understand because I couldn't remember the time I said I never walked a mile in his shoes. And now if ever there was the eye-opener, yeah, here's what Kaepernick was pointing you out. You know, here's what they were talking about. That's one that I have a hard time when the guys immediately start going in on Kaepernick. Oh, he was right.
He was right.
The dude was, I mean, unless you are completely blind, you're not getting that one. You don't like his afro, that's on you, okay? You don't like, I mean, that's something you got to look at yourself about.
Yeah. This is from over the weekend, Kirby saying, I firmly stand strong against racism of all kind. I realize that I feel this differently, but I'm hurting for the young black men on my team, and I'm hurting for the black men on our staff. I cannot imagine the agony, grief, and fear that our black communities feel today and every other day. I do not have the answers, but I'm committed to moving with purpose and being a part of the solution. We have to make change. We have to be better. So, you know, when you see things like that, and again, it's got to matter to Kirby, man. Kirby's the biggest coach in this state. It's got to matter to a Nick Saban. It's got to matter to an Ed Orgeron. Those things matter. It's got to matter to a Jimbo.
Right.
That stuff matters. And that's how you get this trickle down to put pressure on your local authorities and elected officials to make the right decisions. And also, you know, to put the right people in office when they're not doing the job to get them up out of there. So,
right.
You know, but that's the process. And we'll talk more about that. But I just wanted to put that out there because I know some people probably got caught up in the coverage over the weekend and you might have been wondering. But as I said, from the NFL to the NBA to NBA players actually being in town, big shout out to Jaylen Brown, who went to Wheeler High School, came back home because it meant that much to him to be here in Atlanta and not in Boston. So, you know, those are the things that you need to happen. And so, again, lots of coaches speaking out, but we'll play Coach Collins for you coming up from Georgia Tech at around 6:20 tonight here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And some sad news to report, guys. We started the show. We talked about it. If you missed it, Pat Dye, Sr., Pat Dye, the former Auburn head coach, he had had some kidney issues, and we had spoken to his son a few weeks back. Pat Dye, Jr. does a great job as an agent and eventually did get COVID-19, but had been dealing with a lot of health issues. He succumbs to that at age 80. Well-beloved at Auburn, obviously. You think about the Bo Jackson years, and, you know, whether you think about him going for the tie against Syracuse, either way, Pat had an amazing run at Auburn. Mm-hmm. It was always a great amount of fun to talk with. So, again, thoughts and prayers to the Dye family.
Yeah, man. One of the all-time best. He's already a Hall of Famer, and, you know, his name will forever be connected with Auburn, with the name of the field. It's sort of like Vince Dooley, Mike. You know, we talked to Coach Dooley. It was last year, right, that they named the field after him, if I remember correctly.
Right, Dooley Field. And the College Football Hall of Fame, now we did talk about as things escalated Friday night, and then, as we said, you know, there was elements in it. You saw this around the country, which unfortunately gets in some people's minds off the real issue here when you start to see where things go really off the rails. College Football Hall of Fame, they released a statement saying they support the peaceful protests that honor of George Floyd's memory. And obviously they're heartbroken to see the damage to the city and the Hall of Fame. And as the mayor said, we're better than this, but they'll be picking up the pieces. It was kind of, I know Mike Conti tweeted it out, it was kind of heartwarming to see people doing some cleanup down there at Marietta Street, you know, right down there by CNN Centers. But the Hall of Fame's got some work to do.
All right, guys, 404-741-0929. It is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Great text coming in. And again, you know, we understand the emotion that's involved with this, and I don't have any problem with that. I mean, there are some people who are really still, Mike, amped up and feeling some kind of way, and that's fine. Let's use this energy, though, in the right way. And so as I see some of the text coming in and people, you know, speaking out and speaking up and saying thank you guys for addressing some of these things and talking about it. Listen, we are your number one and favorite sports show, but we're also two guys that live in a city we love, and we also want to be your voice. We're not going to always agree, but we're always going to have the conversation, and that's kind of where Mike and I are today. You know, it's funny to me because I've heard some people today, Mike, as I've listened to various media outlets, you know, saying, you know, well, we want to be lighthearted. There's nothing lighthearted about this.
Yeah, we had talked about this over the weekend. We talked Sunday night, Carl, we're talking with Bo, our producer, and it's like, look, I'm watching this three nights in a row from my balcony. You know, and I just, it's, it has, I mean, I'm not, as we said earlier, not trying to be melodramatic because there's people that are out there and they're doing their thing. We've got friends that there were, we have friends that were protesting. We've got friends that are cops out there that had to deal with all that stuff, you know, but it's our city. I mean, we love Atlanta. I mean, it's like my wife and I were, I had somebody hit me up on Twitter. Guess you want to be in the burbs now, Mike. I'm like, no, I don't like my neighbors. I got some real candy asses when it comes to trying to open up my pool during a pandemic. But I love the city of Atlanta. I've been living in Midtown now. This is my 11th year here. I love it. I love walking to work and seeing people I know. I love going to the gym and seeing black, white people. You know, you name it, gay, straight, the whole shebang. It's a melting pot. I love the variety. I love the restaurant scene. I love everything we love about the city. And that's why it broke my heart. So the idea that you and I were going to come on here today and go, well, wonder if baseball's going to get it figured out. No, there's issues we talk about because we love this city. We want to talk about our city.
Yeah, we're sprinkling some things in. We'll continue to do that. Speaking of some relief, our Falcons get some. We'll explain on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, coming up, we'll talk a bit about the Falcons and why it's a good day for our team. I do want to be correct and accurate when it comes to Dabo Swinney as much as possible. He addressed the media today, Mike, conference call, obviously, when asked about George Floyd's death. I'm quoting here because I gave a quote and talked about him saying what he said in 2016 when it was talking about Colin Kaepernick and how he disagreed with things at that point, or at least, you know, the right to protest, but not with the platform. He says, we're all hurting for the Floyd family and our country. We have all witnessed just disgusting acts of evil. That's really the only word I can appropriately use, is what Dabo Swinney said about 4 o'clock this afternoon in addressing this. And the reason why we brought up Dabo in our college report is because he was one of the head coaches that hadn't really said anything about this publicly. So then he went on to say, love doesn't see color. Hate does. Hatred has no heart. Love does. So that was the other thing he added in regards to George Floyd.
And again, a guy that, as we said, I think if you're I forget who tweeted it out. I don't want to say it was Dion or somebody else, but somebody been out there for the weekend and said, look, if you're a coach, if you're a college player, or you're thinking of going to this school or that school, you know, is your coach on record right now, you know, with his feelings? Because if he isn't, maybe that's not a place you should go if you're an African-American player, which, you know, it's a great question.
Yeah. And Adrian Wojnarowski just put out a podcast with Lloyd Pierce as well. And of course, he's talking about things he learned from Pop and Kerr. They were on the U.S. Olympic team together as far as the coaching staff. So I'm not sure if he does talk about the civil rights stuff, but I think he does. And I'm looking at this now because I haven't listened to it specifically. But Adrian Wojnarowski, one of the best basketball reporters out there, with his podcast, talking to Lloyd Pierce. So Hawks fans, if you want to check that out. All right, man, let's transition to the Falcons. And again, more conversation coming up as we have throughout the course of the day. If you're just tuning in for the first time, talking about the events of the weekend, how it affected our city and how we attempt to move forward. And the leaders of our city attempting to keep order and peace and certainly allow protesters to peacefully protest as it is their right. More on that coming up. But, Mike, today's the day, man. Falcons get cap relief. Yay!
$10 million coming off the books, man.
Isn't that crazy? Now, remember, we talked about all these cuts and how can we afford this guy and when does this how does this happen? So we were up against it. There's no doubt we have been. But we get some relief today as this comes back to Desmond Trufant, which we released in March. And I know, you know, the NFL mindset right now might not, again, be top of mind. But remember, when you release guys like that and you wait to this designation, this is when you get the relief. But it allows you to be able to spend, Mike, in free agency as we did. And people move some money around as well that allowed us some freedom to go to make some moves this offseason.
Yeah, now maybe a veteran defensive back to help beef up your core. Just a thought. I mean, there's a couple of guys out there. I'm not, you know, again, if you're available and it's June 1st, that's for a reason. So it wouldn't be frontline help. But if you wanted to go into this next season, looking how, you know, green you are in your secondary, I would think some of the money that is available, I think that's a good way to spend it.
AJ Terrell, by the way, our first round pick, the corner out of Clemson. Projected, and again, this goes up every year, but you know, they're able to do these projections, a 4-year contract worth about $14 million. Mm-hmm. He'll get about an $8 million signing bonus, Mike, but the way things have worked out recently, and we talked about Pat Dye, you know, his father, or Pat Dye Jr., his father, Pat Dye, passing away today. I think it was Pat Dye who came on with this a couple of years ago, talking about Calvin Ridley and where he was picked in the 20s and how incrementally, they've been trying to secure these guarantees for basically all first-round picks. It hasn't always been that way. And so where A.J. ends up going, all of his money for this entire deal is pretty much going to be guaranteed. So his cap number is projected to be about $2.6 million if you look at next season. So I only say that, you know, we got these other rookies we've got to pay as well. Marlon Davidson, he's going to make about $1.2 million, I think, as a third-round pick. Matt Hennessy. Who was the other kid? Michael Walker. So you got all this stuff. Jalen Hawkins we had on the show. This is what we call designated money for your rookie class because they know exactly what that amount's going to be.
Right, and that's why it's so odd when you see a situation get like where it was with Bosa with the Chargers a couple of years ago. I mean, for the most part, you know, you're slated in, and you know what you're going to be doing. And again, you know, we're just now a matter of what inexpensive whatever's left in the kitty after all the things you talked about to go maybe try to beef up some areas that you think need some help. You always have some money that are like so almost like the cookie jar emergency fund for injuries that they always do. But as we said, every year and again, I'm guilty as charged. I put my hand up. We fret about, oh, we got no cap space. We always find a way. But this was one that Squidbilly had pointed to that we were going to get some relief from with Trufant's coming off the books.
Well, here's the other thing, too. Remember, and we said this, do they have the balls to let Free go and let True go? And we didn't think they did. Like, going into the offseason, we were talking about if you really want to save some money. And they could have done more, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, you could save a couple of $1 million if you wanted to let Brian Hill go. But you like Brian Hill. You like what he does for your team. He was productive last year. He's not costing you a lot of money. But, Mike, they made the moves that I think a lot of Falcon fans went, come on, man, they ain't going to do that. But they did.
Right. This is one where, again, whether you felt that, if Tack is upset, if Tack feels dissed and doesn't like it, do something. Do something, you know, if you don't like the way things went down. Because whether you want to say it was that, you know, buyer's remorse syndrome after the Vic Beasley experience, that they were not going to get left holding the bag with Tack McKinley, who has not done enough, save for one season, to justify picking up the fifth-year option. Look, we say it before, there's teams like the Patriots, there are teams that do it, and now I think you're starting to see more and more teams do it, and maybe, I don't know that it devalues the first-round pick, because we always think, you know, the first round is the be-all, end-all, but you're seeing a lot more of that the last couple of years.
Yeah, I'm with you. Now, as you just said, do something, Willie Taggart popped into my head. Sorry for the bad memory. Former Florida State coach, but I want to say this, and I'll remind you guys the rest of the day and even tomorrow, Mike Norvell, who was the new Florida State head football coach, is going to join us to start the show tomorrow. It's the irony of the situation of what we're talking about with college coaches speaking out on things that they need to address.
Right.
But we also were just simply getting Mike on to talk about football and Florida State and where they're at and moving forward.
I've never met the man as a Florida State booster from time to time. I'd like to see what he's all about. So we're going to get a chance to talk to him tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the timing of this is really actually perfect with all that's going on and how college coaches are reacting to what's happening around the country. What's he telling his players, his kids?
Right.
So we'll talk to Mike Norvell tomorrow, but he is the new head coach at Florida State. Again, I'm not going to hype him up. I know he's got great pedigree, but a lot of people thought Taggart was that guy. You got to go and prove it. And so the thing about Norvell is, you know, in his history with Memphis, I think he had 2 10-win seasons and was considered to be one of these, you know, again, young offensive minds that everybody seems to be looking for. And if he can get things back on track at Florida State, you know, we already know you can win a national championship there. So there's no limits to what he should be able to do, but we just haven't heard from him. So tomorrow, to start the show, right around 2:05-ish, we're going to grab Mike Norvell from Florida State. Just a quick reminder.
Right. He took to social media, by the way. He did talk about the Times. We'll ask him about his comments and, you know, how, again, tough spot. But we'll ask him about it because, you know, there's some black coaches in the state of Florida you got to win back over in the recruiting battle who feel that, you know, whatever, you know, the fan base felt that they didn't think Taggart got treated the right way. I have heard some things about Norvell getting some big-time recruits, and the recruiting class is definitely ramping up, wide receiver from South Carolina, et cetera. But for Florida State boosters, our chance to talk to Coach Norvell, right, to start the show tomorrow at 2.
All right, man. It is Dukes and Bell, 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. More on what's going on with our Falcons as we talk about the relief that they get today. And, you know, again, it's money, and you're going, okay, that's great. How does it help us? It's just going to allow us to give us a little bit more flexibility under the cap, as Mike said. Maybe, just maybe, to go get another veteran corner if that guy is available out there, if we don't feel comfortable with what we're seeing once camp rolls around. All right, guys, plenty more to get to. Yeah, Man, No Man is on the way. Bo Morgan will join us for that. We say hey, man, and a big, big shout-out to all the guys and ladies who enjoyed an ice-cold Hey, Man Ale this weekend. you know, normally we're on social media talking about enjoying one. And for me this weekend, I did not get a chance to do that, Mike, because I was enthralled with this coverage and what was going on in our city. But I will say this, for all the people who did, thank you guys for sending the pictures, man. They're very cool. We always retweet those and give you guys big acknowledgement. So thank you.
Right on, man. And again, Squid Billy was getting after it. We'll see what his vibe was. As we said, everybody was kind of, you know, glued to TV. As Carl said, at some point, you kind of like just like, man, I need some relief. It was, you know, I don't know how psychologists are, you know, they look at these moments. But when you get the combination of the pandemic, which has got people just completely, you know, some people more than others, you know, just into a state of just perpetual fear and angst. And then you throw what happened in this weekend. I mean, yeah, these are about the strangest times. I was joking around with my cousin in Miami. I was like, yeah, you know, I've never been in a curfew before. I haven't been curfewed since I was 14. Curfew, by the way, in a place till 9 o'clock. It will start at 9 o'clock, I should say, for the city of Atlanta, Fulton County, again tonight.
Yeah, Man, No Man is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time for Yeah, Man, No Man.
Kind of makes me wonder why the hell so many people are trying to tell me to slow down. Seems like I should be shutting the hell up and enjoying the show.
He's 6'1".
Not really.
From Florida.
Kennesaw State.
And gives rapid-fire questions. It's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Bo Morgan. Brought to you by the Aviation Institute of Maintenance. Visit FixJets.com to learn more.
Coming up, we'll talk about what's going on around the NFL, including Mike Vick's comments about who he would play. What are we talking about? Stay right there. It's on the way in 15 minutes and more discussion about the events of the weekend and where do we go from here, Atlanta. But right now, it's time for Bo Morgan with Yeah Man, No Man. What's going on today, Bo? How are you?
You know, I'm as good as I can be. I had a pretty good weekend, amidst from watching everything that was unfolding in our city and around the country. I played a little golf, went got some Costco shopping in, got me another case of beer for the week and weekend. So I'm good to go.
How did that beer chicken come out, by the way?
You know what? It was phenomenal. Nice bark on the outside. Nice little smoke flavor. I really did like the rub that I used. Little sweet and spicy a little bit with the mesquite. Now it was pretty good. No complaints from any of the people that ate the food.
Well, that's a ringing endorsement.
No doubt. I was curious.
Nobody had botulism. Nobody got sick, and I think they liked it.
It looked good. You know,
chicken was ravaged. There wasn't many leftovers.
Ah, okay.
Very cool. All right, man. Well, what you got working today for us? What do you want to ask Mike Bell and myself?
Well, I got something a little personal, but it is something that's happened to me. So when I went to Costco, yes, you know, everybody knows I've got this little area downstairs. It's in my home studio. And it's also my, I don't like the word man cave, but it's my den. And it's got the, it's the drop ceiling, and the lights are in the up in the ceiling. And they're kind of like, studio theater lights. And so I got some new lights. Costco, because over all the lights were out, so it was kind of dark down here.
Okay.
Well, I put in the new lights. Too bright.
The lights are too bright.
I went on Amazon last night, and I ordered the dimmer switch that you can get, because I did buy dimmable lights on purpose in case that became an issue.
I hope this story has a hell of a payoff, by the way, but go ahead.
Hey, it'll be delivered tomorrow. So when I hear it's delivered tomorrow, I'm thinking it'll be delivered by noon. I'll have my light dimmer in before I start the show.
Right.
It's not going to be here to 9 o'clock tonight, which makes me upset. And I started thinking about this. Today, if you wanted something the next day, you had to just basically go to Home Depot. But now we can get it on Amazon, and it says it'll be delivered the next day, and we literally think it's going to be delivered that next morning. You know, and so I'm going to have a problem. And I wonder if everybody else has this same problem. So, Yeah Man, No Man, do you guys have a problem with being patient in this new world with Amazon in it?
Mm. No, I think, you know, some days you'll see that it'll get here, X, you know, X, Y, Z. And, yeah, you know, I've been like, it's amazing. Some products and the way, I guess, the supply chain or however they work it at Amazon, I get it, like, right when they say. Some take a little bit longer. But, I mean, you know, I mean, first world problems there, Squid Billy. First world problems.
I do. I'm not going to lie to you. The biggest problem, and I'm pulling it up right now so I can get the right verbiage here. So on my Amazon, the thing where it says move to your cart, and then when you move it to your cart and it says not proceed to checkout, but tap here. It's the worst thing ever. Because it's so easy, and especially when it says it'll be there tomorrow. And to your point, Squid, I've become one of these creatures that, you know what, I do. I want it now. And here's the other part. I used to laugh at my father-in-law. This was years ago. He would always be like, why are you going shopping? And get it online to deliver it to your house, you idiot. And I'm like, oh, no, I'd rather go to the store. Now I'm completely opposite. Like, I'd rather be at home and order it. And if it's not what I want, I got 30 days. I'll send it back. You know, it used to be seem like a big hassle, and it's just not.
No, I like to support, like, the local mom-and-pop stores. That's one thing, you're right. We all play it. Can't deny it. It's just so darn simple. It's easy, and you hate to see, like, the small mom-and-pop stores. They're all going out of business, even, like, big department store chains going out of business because they've made this so easy to get anything.
Hold on,
from toilet paper to golf balls.
Save that for later. I'm sorry. I almost pushed proceed to checkout. Go ahead, Mike. I apologize. I got so much stuff in my cart.
Wait, what'd you order, by the way? What do you got?
I had stuff in my cart, and I'm like, I was just going for, I wanted to make sure I was seeing it, you know, explaining it correctly. But then I moved it to my cart. I've just got stuff in there, and then you just press the button, you know, boop, and you buy it immediately. And I'm like, no, don't want to do that. But no, I've got like just little things I need for the yard, stuff like that.
I didn't want this to become your shopping moment. All right.
Too late.
Too late.
NFL had talks with the owners last week where they voted on some rules. We talked about it. Well, since they all can't meet in person, they had a Zoom or a conference call. And just like you or I, sometimes we forget to mute our phones. And that happened to Jimmy Haslam and Jerry Jones.
Is there audio?
Oh.
They're supposed to be.
Yeah, well, Craig, isn't a you thing. This is an us thing on this end. Sorry, bud.
Yeah, Craig just said that.
Get back to it then.
This segment is on fire today, Carl. This segment is on fire.
All I can do is...
I'm not trying to aggravate you. I don't want to get that nasty gram from you later when you go, but I'm just telling you. I mean, some days it just, you know, what do they say in the Big Lebowski? Some days you eat the bar, some days the bar eats you.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, what can we say? I'm never going to throw my guy back there under the bus. I know it's technology, so that's it. Well, hopefully we have this. Craig, let me know if we do or we don't, because I think it's ready.
We have it.
We have Haslam now? Let's go to
No. We have the second one you're teasing.
Okay. All right. Well, Dana White and UFC held an event this weekend. And there's been some stuff going on with one of their bigger stars, John Jones. And John Jones basically came out and said he wants Deontay Wilder money, which would be, you know, $30 million for a fight. Well, no UFC fighter gets that kind of money. In fact, the only one that even comes close would be Conor McGregor. Well, Dana White says that Jones could have done that. He could have even been the LeBron of the UFC, but he ruined it.
I'm always looking at what John Jones could have been. You know, he could have been the LeBron of the sport. He could have been literally that big. You know, the stuff that he's been through to show up and think he, you know, basically demand $15 million or $20 million or $30 million. It's crazy. So. He can do whatever he wants to do. He can sit out. He can fight. He can whatever, you know. You know how this works. You guys know how I am. Being the greatest of all time doesn't mean you get $30 million. Being able to sell. John Jones has done a lot of things to himself. He's saying, in one of his tweets, he was saying that I tarnished his... I tarnished you? You've done a very good job of tarnishing you. No, I haven't done that.
He's right.
He had some drug issues. He's gotten in trouble. By the way, he was out in the protests and trying to keep the peace. If you hadn't seen the pictures of him out, I guess, out in Albuquerque, New Mexico, that John Jones was out there. He encountered some people who were vandalizing stuff, and he ended up requesting they hand over the spray cans, and they did, because he was going to fight with John Jones. But back to Dana's point, Carl, he has sabotaged his career. He's had big moments built up, and then he's just cut himself off at the knees.
He has, and I agree with Dana. I mean, listen, you can blame Dana all you want, but at the end of the day, if he would have kept himself on the straight and narrow, he's my favorite fighter, right? We've talked about this. We've had him on the show numerous times, and I've told him, John, you're my favorite dude. I've bought many of his fights, been to a couple of them. But at the end of the day, he may be the greatest MMA fighter, but that's bogus. And to call out Dana and act as if it's his fault, that's a you problem. All that is you.
Yeah, and for an update on this, is basically Jones came out overnight after, I guess, he got back from helping with a protest and said he's relinquishing the light heavyweight title. The dispute was that he wanted more money to fight at the heavyweight division, and they're not going to give it to him. But you guys kind of answered the question. My question was, yeah, man, no, man, who's most responsible for the tainting of his career? And I think, as you guys said, it's absolutely John Jones.
I mean, look, there's nothing that Dana White doesn't want to see John Jones sabotage the UFC. I mean, he's part of that brand. I mean, I agree with him. He could be that guy. And unfortunately, anytime Carl, as we said, you're building up to momentum with a big fight or things are happening, he just has some out of the ring incident, whether it's a drug fail or everything else.
Yeah, I don't agree with John on this. And you know, here's the thing too. I mean, the dude. Well, watch his last fight. It was just a couple of months ago before this whole pandemic thing happened, and. You know, he's on his game. I mean, he could probably, even right now, I mean, with you know, little time in the ring, get back in the ring with anybody, Mike, and give him a fight. I just think that this whole thing about his whole problem is he wants to be the highest paid. And to Dana's point, that's one conversation, and then you've got this other stuff that's going on. And that's why John is saying this stuff. You know, he wants to be the highest paid MMA fighter, and maybe he deserves to be, but you got to stop pointing finger and making blame for other people.
All right, real quick before we get out of here, obviously we've talked about this a little bit with the NBA trying to restart, and Adrian Wojnarowski and Zach Lowe wrote an article talking about small market teams really pushing to be a part of the Orlando trip where they start off, including Atlanta. Now, apparently in the article, Tony Ressler has pushed and he's reiterated that he wants his franchise to resume the season. But in the article, there's a quote here, and it talks about Golden State and the Hawks both saying that they want to be a part of this. It says, the Hawks and Warriors are two lottery teams with far different realities. A small market southern city in a rebuild contrasted with the massive resources of a big market team reloading its roster with healthy all-stars for a 2021 playoff run. Let me say this again. In this article, it says the Atlanta Hawks are a small market southern city. In
we're the eighth largest, and with the new census, we may be as big as seventh largest metropolitan area in America. So that's not right.
Yeah, man, no, man. Adrian Wojnarowski and Zach Lowe, whichever one of these that wrote this, should have to answer this on Atlanta radio.
Yes, please.
Yeah, man. It's funny. I don't get the whole small market thing. Listen, we got a young team, but it has nothing to do with the size of our marketplace.
We're not Memphis, Carl. We're not, you know, right. that's what
or New Orleans, Mike.
Right. New Orleans, Memphis, San Antonio. I mean, those are small markets. We are we're top 10, baby. That's why Carl and I get paid the big bucks.
Garbage. Anyways, let's get out of here before this segment gets any worse. As always, brought to you by the Aviation Institute of Maintenance. Visit sixjets.com to learn more. Craig, hit the music.
Yeah! That's where I am.
Right on. We're trying to get things right. We're trying to do our part. It's every little bit helps. You know, I mean, it's been a crazy 72 hours. There's an amazing video. I think Carl retweeted it as well from a scene that happened about 30 minutes ago downtown. So check that out at Mike Bell ATL and put him up, C Dukes. As we said, guys, there are some great people in law enforcement. There are people that get it, okay? There are some bad guys that got to get purged, but the right people are out there doing a tough job every day.
Coming up, he's a hypocrite. It's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.